The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What do you know about Jesus' second coming? Well, we're going to learn some on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us on our episode today. We're currently taking questions from listeners like yourself. If you've got a question, you can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, let me remind you about our National Bible Conference, the National Bible Conference of the Grace Evangelical Society. Sounds like a mouthful, but it's a great time to get together with like-minded believers and hear some great free grace Bible teaching. We would love to see you there. You can sign up by going to faithalone.org and click on events. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's keep on answering these questions from the North Carolina Conference.
Okay.
From Brian, what is your view on the second coming of Christ, including both the rapture to the clouds and to the earth, i.e. the Mount of Olives? In other words, part one is the rapture, part two is the Mount of Olives of the second coming.
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian. Most people think, who are dispensationalists and who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture and the millennium after that, they believe that the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation begins, right? That's the whole Left Behind series.
Right. So that in itself is not that controversial. There are some dispensationalists who disagree, but the majority position,
right,
is there's a rapture of the church before the tribulation begins.
And, oh, I'd say for about the last 20 or 30 years, the position has been that there's actually a small gap between the rapture and the start of the tribulation.
Okay.
So the rapture occurs, there may be a gap of 30 to 90 days, we don't know how long, between the time of the rapture and the signing of the covenant. Because according to Daniel 9:24-27, the rapture begins with the signing of a covenant that the man of sin, or the world ruler, is going to make.
The tribulation, week 70. Begins with the signing of this covenant.
And that may not occur at the time of the rapture.
Right.
In fact, it's probably unlikely because he's secret until the time he signs this covenant. So there's probably a short gap. But here's what's controversial about Brian's question. Most dispensationalists would say when we're raptured, we meet the Lord in the air, as Brian said. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. And then we continue on from the first heaven, which is the air around the earth, and we go on to the third heaven,
right,
where the Shekinah glory of God is, where most of the angels are,
right,
where God the Father is especially present. Obviously, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all omnipresent, but there's some kind of localized presence of God in the third heaven.
Right, and that's where believers, either of us died right now, that's where we would go.
Before the rapture, that's where we'd go.
Right.
And in fact, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, it's the dead in Christ who rise first. And so they're raised from the dead in the third heaven, and then they come to the air to meet us. And most dispensationalists would say then they and we go from the air back to the third heaven.
Back to the third heaven.
And the judgment seat of Christ occurs there. And then at the end of the 7 years, Jesus comes, sets foot on the Mount of Olives, which is part two of what Brian was asking
right.
about. And he overthrows the enemies, the Gentile nations that have surrounded Jerusalem.
Right.
And that results in the end of the tribulation. Then there's the judgment of the sheep and the goats. There's a 75-day time period between the ending of the tribulation and the beginning of the millennium, according to Daniel 12.
Right.
And then the millennium begins.
And at the second coming, the saints come with him. All the saints who were in the third heaven
right.
for those 7 years, they come back with him.
And all of us who are on earth are going to be with him. All of us who are from the church age who are raptured will be with him too.
Right. And well, that's what I mean. After the rapture, all Christians are in the third heaven. And then at the second coming, Jesus comes back. This is the view.
Right.
And Jesus comes back with the saints at that time.
Right. And most likely, I mean, it's impossible to me to believe that the Old Testament saints would not be included in that number.
Okay.
That this would be all believers of all time, including believers from before the beginning of Israel to believers who were either Jews or Gentiles during the Old Testament economy, believers from the church age, and there's going to be probably hundreds of millions of angels that are in this big party, too.
Right.
By party, I mean group, this host that's coming down.
Right.
Here's the big question that Brian has. How does it relate to meeting the Lord in the air as compared to the Lord setting foot on the Mount of Olives? Essentially, my view is that we do not go from the air to the third heaven. We meet the Lord in the air, we stay there for 7 years, and then Jesus continues on to the Mount of Olives and we go with him. The reason I say that is ultimately the view I described before involves three comings of Jesus, not two.
Okay, so now what people would say is the rapture is not the second coming.
Because I don't believe he goes back to the third heaven, I believe the second coming takes 7 years.
Right, okay.
So that both us meeting him in the air and him setting foot on the Mount of Olives is all the second coming.
Okay.
This is going to be millions upon millions upon millions of people meeting him in the air. And there was a theme that occurred in the New Testament, and it was also part of ancient history, where when a king conquered, he would return to his homeland, and the people of that homeland would go out to meet him and then would come with him as he returned. So there would be a big entourage. Paul talks about that in his epistles. And he says, we're part of that parade. We're part of that group. Well, if Jesus goes to the third heaven to await his triumphal return, and now he's on his triumphal return, well, then we going with him, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to go back to heaven again when the whole point of him coming to earth is to catch us up to him so that we can take part in this entourage. So it seems to me that the 7 years we will spend in the air is not going to seem like 7 years. Remember in 2 Peter 3:8, Peter says, with the Lord, 1,000 years is as one day.
Right.
Well, if that's so, then 7 years is as 10 minutes.
Okay.
It's going to seem to us like we're with the Lord, worshiping him and rejoicing for about 10 minutes prior to the kickoff. And then he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. We're going to be behind this great group, many of whom are going to be on horseback, but you're going to have this great army coming, and they're going to overthrow all these Gentile armies, and we will be part of that overcoming crowd, and it'll all be exciting.
So like the people on Earth are going to be looking up, and it's going to be like seeing millions of Superman just floating in the air? Like our plane's going to have to like
say,
oh, there's the cloud of saints over there.
Watch we need to. That.
All right, let's go. Well, let's get back down to 20,000 feet. Oh, there's Bob. He's sunk down to 20,000 feet. Let's go down to 10,000 feet to avoid these massive group of.
Let me.
I mean, I don't know. Is that your view? That
I like, don't know.
For 7 years, people are going to look at all these people and they're going to see Jesus. I mean, you can take an airplane and take a picture of Jesus and during the tribulation.
It seems to me they will obviously be able to see some sort of sign of the Son of Man in the air. There's going to be some sort of cosmic sign. Now, I don't know what that sign will be, but from us coming from the air to the Mount of Olives, it seems to me will be exceedingly quick. A few seconds.
For us, but from the people on the ground looking up.
Oh, no, I mean in actual time, a few seconds. From the time he says, okay, we're now leaving, it's going to be almost instantaneous to go from the clouds to the ground.
Okay.
I don't expect that we're going to be knocking down a lot of planes.
But we're going to be floating there for 7 years, you said.
Right, and we won't be visible.
Why not? We're physical bodies. I mean, material physical bodies.
We will, but it's possible for material physical bodies not to be visible. I mean, there are people in material physical bodies like Enoch and Elijah in the third heaven right now, and we don't see them. I mean, we can put the telescopes out there, and we don't see the third heaven.
I mean, I don't even really know what the third heaven is, to be honest. I'm
well,
sure.
I don't either.
Is it a different dimension?
Like I know, but
it's not like a part of like the solar system.
Do think it's probably a different dimension, and my guess is when we're in the air, we'll be invisible.
Okay,
that's my guess.
Okay.
But okay, I see your point. So the Air Force is going to be scrambling jets up there to shoot down
these
UFOs.
They're going to try shooting them. It's like, oh, man, there's about 100,000 Baptists over here. And they're like, man, our bullets are hitting something, but we don't know what.
I don't know.
It's bouncing. Boom, boom, boom. I just hit a bunch of something over there on my windshield.
Those of you who are listening, this is not our norm. We're just kind of going off into Christian sci-fi.
We're riffing. Here. Yeah, we're riffing.
We're riffing
on the
but
sci-fi.
Although I have no major problem with saying we meet him in the air, we go to the third heaven, and then we come back, it seems to me that's a bit convoluted, and there's nothing in Scripture that tells me when we meet him in the air, we then go on to the third heaven. And I think, by the way, the judgment seat of Christ will occur on earth after the tribulation.
Well, see, that might be worth talking a little bit more about. So you made an argument to me once that all the judgments happen on earth.
I think they will, and Jesus will be the judge of all of them. So he will judge the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25:31-46, those who survive the tribulation, both believers and unbelievers. He'll judge the church age, all the believers from the church age at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge all the Old Testament saints. I don't know what that judgment's going to be called, but they'll all be judged.
Yeah.
And then after the millennium, he's going to judge all of the unbelievers at the Great White Throne Judgment, and also millennial saints need to be judged somewhere. I'm not sure what that judgment's going to be called or if that'll be part of the Great White Throne Judgment, because there is a verse at the end of Revelation 20:15 that says, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that may suggest that millennial saints are judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. But since their names are in the book of life, they're not cast into the lake of fire. But in any regard, there'll be a bunch of judgments, and I think the Great White Throne Judgment will be on earth, the judgment seat of Christ. And the reason is, this is where we did our deeds. This is where we lived our lives, so therefore, why not judge us here?
Okay. You're probably going to have follow-up questions to this episode.
We've probably raised a lot of questions now. Send your questions to Sean@faithalone.org.
You can phone in your questions to Bob's personal cell phone.
Don't give my cell number.
No, you can send them to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org, and we absolutely would love to hear from you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment, or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace and Focus, we're going to talk about the author of Hebrews and the mystery that surrounds it. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.